It's a little known fact that Cheerscast is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
You know, the new executive vice president, Mr. Stone, has been doing a little house cleaning at the corporate level. From where I am, it could be just a short climb to the top.
Yeah, speaking of climbing to the top, the way I see it, you haven't had a date with a guy for about 2.5 years. Now, I think this date of ours could be good for me, but sweetheart, I gotta say, it's looking real necessary for you.
You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and with this episode, we are kicking off Cheers' award-winning 7th season. By we, I mean me and my returning guest, Vicky DeCiper. Welcome back, Vicky.
Hi, Ryan. It's so good to be back. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for coming back. I appreciate it. I always have fun talking to you. As I said, folks, we're going to talk about the first episode of Season 7, and for once, we don't have a major cast change or a shift in the status quo. Really, the only noteworthy behind-the-scenes event that affected the show this season was in 1988, there was a writer's strike in Hollywood. Hey, does that sound familiar? This strike delayed the season premiere by 5 weeks, and it also caused NBC to produce fewer episodes. Season 7 only has 22 episodes, which is pretty standard, actually, for most network TV shows, but Cheers regularly produced 25 episodes or more. In fact, only seasons 1 and 2 and 7 are 22 episodes. Every other season was 25 or 26 episodes long, except for the final season, which is a whopping 28 episodes long because the 90-minute series finale was syndicated as 3 episodes. Beyond the shortened episode total, I refer to this one as an award-winning season. Cheers won the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Comedy Series 4 times during its 11-year run, including the first 2 seasons. Season 7 was the 3rd time the show won. Rhea Perlman also won her 4th and final Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy this season, and Woody Harrelson won his 1st and only Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy because John Larroquette finally took himself out of contention after winning the previous 4 years for Night Court. Can't believe Woody only won 1 year, one supporting actor, or this whole show.
It seems like he should have won more, for sure.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I didn't even realize, but I looked it up last year. Like, all of the cast members won a lot fewer awards than I would have expected, except for Rhea Perlman, who, like I said, won 4 years out of the first 7 seasons, and then started losing to Bebe Neuwirth, who plays Lilith, for a couple of years. So I think just because they gave Lilith more parts, she started winning the awards.
Wow, I didn't realize that either. That's interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, that's it. So writer strike, funny how things change, but things are always the same.
That's right.
But yeah, no other major cast changes from the end of season 6 to this one. So what do you say we dive into season 7?
Let's do it.
All right. Season 7, Episode 1, How to Recede in Business. This one is written by David Lloyd, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, October 27th, 1988. And a little fun fact about this one. Season 6, I mentioned this a year ago, aired on September 24th, which is my birthday, and this season premiered on October 27th, which is my wife's birthday.
So. That is the day after my birthday, actually.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Yeah, back in 1988, my wife was 57 years old, so yeah.
Your wife's going to leave you now.
She'd have to find out this podcast exists first.
That's true.
Oh, I'm turning into a cliche. I'm making jokes about my wife. Oh, no.
Norm.
I can't help. No, yeah. That's a good call out. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, getting into the episode. Months after Evan Drake's departure, Sam thinks the time is right to ask Rebecca out. She wants to focus on her career, believing the new company vice president will notice her hard work. After enough pestering from Sam, and literally having nothing else to do, Rebecca agrees to a dinner date. On the night of the date, however, the new vice president, Greg Stone, comes to Cheers. He tells her that the bar did better under Sam's management and thus promotes Sam and fires Rebecca. Carla is thrilled to have Sam back in charge, but he starts to chafe under the new corporate guidelines and expectations. He begs Stone to give Rebecca her job back, and Stone agrees with several conditions. At Carla's prompting, Sam uses Rebecca's job as leverage to get her on a date again. The two dine at Melville's, where Sam's charms legitimately start to win Rebecca over, until she learns of the severe conditions her job is contingent on, such as sharing the office with Sam, going back to college for her degree, taking a pay cut, and occasionally waiting tables under Carla's supervision. Rebecca storms off, vowing that she won't accept the terms until Woody reminds her that she bought a new Mercedes and needs this job in order to pay for it. Pitifully, Rebecca takes the tray from Carla and begins waiting on customers. All right. The title of this episode, How to Recede in Business, comes from the musical How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, right. Which I actually performed in my sophomore year of high school. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I couldn't really sing, so they just made the director literally made me the everyman part. I played 8 different background roles. But as a fun little gag, we established a kind of through line continuity where it was sort of like I was the same person who just had 8 different jobs on in the show. So it was actually a lot funnier than it sounds, but yeah. Okay, Vicky, big picture, what did you think about this episode, the season premiere?
You know, I like this episode. It's got some really funny parts. It mm-hmm. felt a little different to me, and I don't know. There was only a plot A. There was really no other plot B, plot C. It felt a little like we took a step back from kind of the ensemble-ness of what we had kind of gotten into, I think, towards the end of last season. But I also think we had to really kind of set up this season. I think there was a lot of setting up in this episode. Mm-hmm. Sam was back up to his old tricks. Sam would be canceled today.
Yeah.
But we still love him, but he would definitely be canceled today.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really great episode. I think Kirstie Alley, I love her in like this season and especially next season of Cheers. I love her through the whole thing, but I think she's still getting some really good writing to perform to right now. And I love the cracks that we really start to see Becca, especially in this episode. So I think it's a great episode. It just felt a little different. And I don't know if that's coming off the writer's strike. Things were just like, how do we hurry up and get into the season because it's going to be shortened? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But it's a great episode.
Yeah. And I think actually for season premieres, it was pretty common to just have an A story. And it usually focused on either Sam and Rebecca or Sam and Diane. And a right. lot of the secondary characters kind of got shunted off the side and really, really only had a couple of lines, like one or two or mm-hmm. something like that. And I think that was kind of common. The difference being a lot of times the season premieres were either resolving a cliffhanger ending from the previous season or some kind right. of big shift. This is one of the right. first times where they weren't resolving anything. Like, they're just like, this yeah. could have been the 26th episode of season 6. This is just a continuation of where we were. So, in a You're sense, right. it felt right. comparatively small compared to other season premieres, I think. I think it's easier to notice that Woody has, like, 2 lines, the whole thing, and Norm barely does anything.
Right.
Cliff, I think, is in 1 scene.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think you're right. It feels smaller is the right word for sure. But we didn't have anything to resolve nothing really big to resolve at the start of this season. So yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. The other thing, one of the contemporaneous, and I shouldn't have said it because it still kind of lingers, like one of the complaints about the Rebecca years that I think is, it's valid. I think it's forgivable, but it is the dumbing down of Sam. And
yeah.
I'm not going to say it's never more noticeable than it is in this episode, but this one is a pretty clear-cut example. It shows him like sort of like incapable or ill-equipped to run the bar, which he had done for right. 10 years, just like
yeah,
2 years prior to this. And he's just being he's being thwarted by a computer and these new like corporate guidelines, and that really kind of Like, he was, Sam, he never had Diane's academic education, but he had street smarts, and he was savvy, and he was a worldly type of guy. And this one, even like his, like, well, the other big example, like, even like his schemes and seductions to get Rebecca, Carla has to call him out that he's losing his touch with that. He can't even think of a way to leverage this scheme to get her to bed. And he's like, I'm shocked. I didn't think of it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he even says, I think there's a line where he said, either, you know, managing a bar has gotten harder or I've gotten dumber. It's almost like a wink at the camera, like, hey, I have gotten dumber here a little bit.
Right, yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, that's a little bit of a disappointment. I think that, like, yeah, they made him a little bit dumber, and it does continue going forward, but... I said it's noticeable, it's a fair criticism, but it's also forgivable because I think he's still a funny and he's still a beloved character, so we kind of roll with it.
He's still so likable, even with the stuff he pulls. Like, you still just, hey, Sam, you like Sam. Like, you can't help it.
And he gets his comeuppance more or less by the end of this one, so let's actually get to it. For the teaser, like, we jump right into the plot. As we said, like, Sam comes in to the bar, and he is certain that this is the day that he will sleep with Rebecca. He says he waited long enough for her to get over Evan Drake, but not long enough for her to build up her resistance. Which, yeah, that's the way we're actually talking about his womanizing. It's something that, yeah, to be resisted. So, yeah, talk about, you mentioned he would be canceled. I think that's a pretty good indication. But yeah, he's like, the way I see it, I've got about a half hour window of opportunity open here.
He's got it down to a science.
Yeah. And the guys cheer him on, but as he knocks on the door, goes into the office, Norman Cliff, like, yeah, he doesn't have a prayer. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah, I loved, yeah, Cliff saying, not a devout nun's prayer. I love that line.
That's good. And then we cut to our credits, but when we come back, we're in the office. Rebecca's got a new haircut. She's reading a magazine. He's like, what you got there? She goes, it's a Mercedes catalog. I've been thinking of getting one. He goes, yeah, I hear good things about those catalogs.
That was a nice little joke.
Yeah. There's a moment, I don't know if you caught it, but he plucks a leaf from one of the plants in her office, like on the bookshelf, and he uses it to polish his shoe.
And it's, I saw that.
While he is doing that, he says, speaking of Mercedes, I'm kind of considered the Mercedes of guys.
I know, yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, okay, all right, I don't know. There we go.
I was like, was that a living plant? Was that like a fake? Like, what is it? He just took the leaf to plant.
Either way, interesting. It's literally polishing himself like a car.
And Rebecca's got a great comeback because he calls himself the Mercedes, and she's like, "I always thought you were a cheap pickup with a headlight missing."
That was good. That was
brilliant.
That's why Sam gets away with how he treats Rebecca, because she comes back and she comes back hard at him.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's. She's no fool for Sam. Yeah. Well, until later, we'll get to that. But, and they have this great little banter back and forth when she won't go out, and he tries to act like he just came in to compliment her blouse. And there's a whole back and forth there that is really funny. And she kind of basically accused him of being just like every other man who wants to use her and take her and leave you to go to Japan with someone else. And God bless Kirstie Alley, the way her voice starts to crack in the middle of the line.
It's incredible. And you can still understand her is what's so incredible. She can make it crack and you still can hear every word and enunciate.
Yes, absolutely. That's the thing that I guess we talked about that last season a couple of times is, like, her ability to be blabbering and hysterical and, like not in a, like, pejorative, like, feminine way, but, like, sort of, like, screaming or kind of, like, losing herself emotionally and still articulate every single word for comedic purposes.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
She really was a comedic talent, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And she tells him that she's concentrating on her career. She happens to think she has a real future. And Sam goes, no offense, but why? It's like, And she thinks that, you know, Evan took all of the people at the company who would know that she's a washout with him. So, you know, she's sitting pretty. Like, nobody knows her bad reputation.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, again, this is sort of like, you almost feel like he's womanizing to, in his mind, he's being benevolent. Like, he really thinks this is his gift that he bequeaths unto women. Because he says, he's got this line, "The way I see it, you haven't had a date with a guy in 2.5 years. Now, I think this date of ours could be really good for me, but sweetheart, I gotta say, it's looking necessary for you." Like,
yeah, I mean, he's a gift. Come on. Yeah,
exactly. So she says, fine. She's like, yeah, my TV, there's nothing good on TV, and my oven is on the fritz or something like that. So she agrees to date him.
Her oven's on the blink, and there's nothing on the tube.
Yeah. So she says yes, and then we cut to later on. He comes in dressed up in a suit. He's got flowers. He's got a heart-shaped box of candy. The crowd is like, woo, woo, woo. And he's like, yeah, we're just going to dinner. And Norm is like, yeah, and Columbus was just going on a little boat ride. And you can see it even before it happens, the little glint in Cliffy's eye. He's like, no, that happens to be true, Norm. And he just goes off on this thing. He's like, yeah, Columbus just told the missus that he was stepping out for a lunch, and he took a left instead of a right at the Isle of Langerins. And the next thing you know, he's trading trinkets for Miami Beach. And Carla gets him. She's like, Cliff, you should write a book. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's very funny. And she gives him paper and a pencil. She's like, no, right now, go write a book. Go into the pool room and don't come out until you've got 60,000 words.
And the look on Cliff's face is so funny. It's like, I'm flattered. Like, this is amazing. Someone finally sees that I should write a book. But also, he looks so confused and like a little boy. Like, I don't know. The look on his face, it was great.
It's like a schoolboy. He'd been reduced to like a kid who's just like, yeah, you're not going outside for recess until you finish this assignment. Like, you need to go. You need to go over there.
Like that Carla's used that on her kids or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
And, so Sam goes to meet Rebecca, and Norm, of course, has his thing. He has his, his Vera line, because he has to have one, obligatory. And he's like, yeah, let's take the suit and the candy. He's like, takes me back to my first day with Vera, the flowers, the candy, the wine. In retrospect, I should have got her something, but can't turn back the clock.
Like, we know he's going to make the Vera jokes, but they're still funny. Like, I still laugh every time,
even
though I know it's coming.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So Sam and Rebecca are on their way out. Oh, actually, Sam actually has a good line. He gives the flowers to Rebecca, and he's like, I wanted to show them what a real long-stem beauty looks like.
I mean, that was kind of good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. And they're on their way out when the new company vice president, Greg Stone, walks by. Greg Stone, played by the actor Brian Bradford, who was in a bunch of things. I looked him up on IMDb. Most notably, he was in the movie Nixon. He was also in a 2004 TV musical of A Christmas Carol, where he played Mr. Fezziwig.
He looked familiar. I couldn't place him in anything. I figured I'd seen him, like, you know, on the A-Team and Murder, She Wrote, and all of that stuff growing up. But, yeah, I saw that he was in a musical version of The Christmas Carol on TV, too, which is interesting. I can see that for him.
And Rebecca is like excitedly like goes to welcome him and introduce him to Sam, and he's like, "Oh, thank you. Who are you?" Of course, don't remember. And he's like, "I just need to use the phone in your office." She's like, "You can do anything you want to my phone." And he's like, "Okay, for now, I'll just talk into it." He's like,
"That was good."
And as soon as he goes in the door, Rebecca, this is so last year, her crush on Evan Drake seemed like it was
genuine
and singularly about him, whether misguided or not. It seemed like she liked him, and the possibility of advancement or whatever it was might have been a lure, but it seemed like it was genuinely, and it was about him.
Right.
But when Stone goes into her office and she says, "That man may be the most handsome man I've ever seen," and the whole bar reacts, like, this is like, oh, yeah. This is something about Rebecca that we are going to be dealing with for the rest of the show. Like, she chases...
Starts a pattern for our Rebecca.
Yeah, she chases the power and the money, and she's completely blind to everything else. But he comes, or Stone comes out, and he's like, he needs to talk to her tomorrow. And she's like, oh, just tell me right now. And he's like, no, this isn't really the place for this conversation. And she's like begging him, and Sam pulls the guy's out. He's like, you can just tell, give her the news now. It'll help grease the skids. And then Stone actually, he tells Rebecca that the bar did better under Sam's management, so they're promoting Sam to manager and giving Rebecca a notice, aka firing her. To which she is stunned, and by stunned I mean frozen stiff, like catatonic. And Sam's only response is, "What do you say we go strap on the old feed bag?"
I laughed out loud at that. Like, come on, Sam. But that it was pretty funny. It made me laugh.
And so he literally needs help getting her out of, because she's as stiff as a board. He needs Woody and Frasier. I think the only thing Frasier does in the episode is open the door for them.
Yeah,
and that's Sam it. And Woody carry her out to his car. And he's like, "Ah, this is gonna be easier than I thought." It's like, "Oh, Sam, that's a,
I know.
Don't make that joke." But
I know. But you know, we've seen him with Rebecca when she's had too much to drink, and he's a gentleman, so we know he's joking.
Right, of course. Yeah, he's not gonna do it. But
yeah.
And then we cut to some indeterminate time later, and Sam is—he's not a manager, but he's having a really hard time. This is where he makes a joke, like, either it's gotten harder, I've gotten dumber, and they're like, you know, it couldn't have gotten any harder. You couldn't get any dumber. But Carla thinks it's great that he's running the show, and she goes, "It reminds her of the good old times before the evil days when darkness fell over the earth." I'm going to spoil it, but this one is my home run for the episode, because
I thought it would be
as if we needed clarification for a new audience or something like that. We get this aside with Norm and Frasier at a table away from the bar, but Norm clearly is like, "Oh, the darkness. She means when Diane used to work here." And Frasier, in his dark voice, is just, yes. "I know exactly what she means."
Oh, I think that's like Kelsey Grammer's only line in this episode, but it's perfect. I love any Diane joke. Unfortunately, it's always at her expense. I love it, especially when Frasier's involved, because the anger that you see flashing in his eyes is...
It's so good. It's just like...
It is so good.
That pain that just festers into...
That hurt. It's still hostility.
Yeah. And then Rebecca comes back, and she looks like a mess. She's... Like, at first I thought it was a bathrobe, but I actually think it is a coat. Like, an actual...
I think it is, too. Yeah, it took me a second to figure out what it was.
But it's like shapeless on her or whatever. It's just a dark thing. And just like wearing like a house robe underneath and everything like that.
Yeah.
Her hair completely unkempt. It looked like a mess.
Oh, it's a mess.
And she asks Woody where Sam is, and Woody starts to say his office, but he notices that phrase like causes her pain, so he tries to correct himself that it's in her office, but that's not right. So he says, "In your old office," and like every time he catches himself, and finally he's like, "I'm not going to win this one." So he just goes, "I haven't seen him." And Rebecca walks by Al, and
this was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, Al gets his line, "I love your hairdo," and then there's nothing, but she just keeps walking by, and there's a guy sitting like two stools down from Al that I just kind of noticed in the background. And this is like the first like weird sense of like the timing of this episode, because the guy in the back has like, it's not like a full on, but it's basically a mullet. He's got like a thick head of hair, but it's cut short up top.
Yes.
And it's kind of long and flocked down around his shoulders. And he's got like a half beard, like he hasn't shaved, and like this like almost checkered plaid jacket and everything. And I looked at him and I was like, he doesn't belong in Cheers. He belongs in a different show in 1988. Right? Yeah.
Because I don't know. I'm sure I could read about this somewhere, but I would love to know if the costume and set designers really made an effort to keep trends kind of out. Because the show, I mean, it's dated, but there's a lot that feels timeless. They don't do tons of pop culture references, but when you, every now and again, you'll catch a glimpse of something like that. And you're like, oh yeah, this is a different time than I remember this.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's noticeable, but it's a lot more subdued than other shows. Definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. Yeah. And then she knocks on the office, and when Sam lets her in, she starts to cry just because she had to knock on her own office door. And she calls herself a loser. She's always been a loser. She's a big old fat stupid loser. And Sam tries to comfort her while also like setting her hair and like I think he like licks his like fingers or his hand or something to kind of like slick it down. And it's
yeah. Ask for her if she has a barrette. She says she's lost it. Oh, Sam can't let anyone have a bad hair day.
Of course, no. And yeah, and like once she leaves, like Sam, he's having trouble working with this computer, keeping inventory, and he's like, "I used to keep inventory in a spiral notebook." And Carla's like, "No, you didn't." He's like, "Well, I meant to." and all of these new like responsibilities and new things he has to do for the company, he said he can't do it. He doesn't like it. He hates it. So he's gonna beg Stone to give Rebecca her job back. Carla chides him for quitting just because of a machine, and she starts to compare him to the folk hero John Henry, who went toe-to-toe with a steel-driving machine. And she's like, "And you know what happened?" And Sam's like, "Yeah, the machine beat him. His heart exploded."
Yeah, she forgot the ending to that one.
Right, so she's like, "Oh, God, go get your job. Go get talk to him and get rid of his job." So Sam comes back and he tells them that he tells them all that he got Stone to take the job. But he says, "I hate to beg when sex isn't involved."
That was a good line too. That was funny.
So then, of course, he's like sitting down and he's like completely out of it. And Carla has to slowly, painfully get Sam to realize that, hey, he wants to go to bed with Rebecca, and he's got something that she badly wants, and he can use it to his advantage. And he's like, "Carla, I'm shocked." And she's like, "Why? Because you didn't think of this first?" And he's like, "Yeah, I must be losing my touch." And then we go to Sam and Rebecca's date at Melville's, and I meant to look this up, but this might be the first time we see the restaurant.
You know, that ran through my mind, too. I don't think we've ever been up there before, really.
I couldn't think of, like...
You know what? Did we go up there in the episode where Woody's girlfriend from Indiana comes back? And
that was a different restaurant. That wasn't Melville's.
Oh, okay. So, see, I don't think we have. I think this might be our first time up there.
Okay, for now, I'm thinking this is our first time, but I don't remember if you ever went up there with Diane or anything like that, but... Gosh, I can't think. I think this is the first time, but I may be wrong. Hopefully somebody.
I think it is too, because I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah. We find out that Rebecca was so happy when Sam told her just the first part that she got her job back without any of the other details.
Yeah.
She was so happy that she did order a Mercedes from the catalog. And they're talking and they're having fun, and Sam is legitimately charming, and it starts to win her over. And she kind of like they scoot next to each other, and he puts his hand on her leg, and she calls him on it. So he removes his leg. She's like, no, it's okay. She has him rub her leg the other direction, and he like even looks up. He's like, oh, thank God. And he's like so excited, like a kid on Christmas.
I forgot. Like these two did have some chemistry.
Yeah,
like, they really did have chemistry, and I forget about that because of how things end up going, but. They really did. And, you know, in the scene in the office where they have their back and forth about the blouse, it felt very like Sam and Diane. That could have been written for Sam and Diane, the timing of it and all of that. But I forgot, like, they really did have some chemistry.
Yeah. It was,
also, I just looked up. This is the first time we see the interior of Melville's. So were correct.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And Sam and Rebecca, they are about to kiss when she spots Mr. Stone across and coming into the restaurant, and she
almost flips the table over.
Exactly, and flings Sam so hard away from her that he hits his head on the back like of the seat of the booth. And she rushes to greet him, and Stone, of course, having not remembered her at all, like thinks that she's the hostess now, and asks for a table, and. he mentions the new conditions of her job, and she's like, what is that about? And Sam's like, oh, who knows, whatever, trying to resume, get back to exactly the position where they were at when she pushed him away. But she makes him tell her, and he has to reluctantly confide that she needs to take a significant pay cut. She needs to go back to school for her MBA. She has to share the office with Sam and consult him on major business decisions. And since she doesn't have waitressing experience, she needs to wait tables when the bar is busy, and which would put her under the direct supervision of Carla.
Oh, the kicker.
Yeah. And the next moment, like this scene, where she's like, when were you planning to tell me this? And he goes, after? And she says, after what, Sam? And he goes, afterwards? It's like so... He's like so like, please, please, please. Like, so I'm like begging. He's like, don't get me in trouble with this. My intentions were good, but they weren't. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's okay. You know, I'll forgive you because I'm just so happy to get my job back. And she scoots up close to him again. And then... she really comes on strong. So strong that Sam probably should have seen this coming. But yeah. But she says she wants to make this night special, and she starts whispering into his ear about these fantasies that she has, and she keeps adding in new little touches and getting him more and more excited. And the best part is like when she's like, this one is just a little bit illegal.
That's and she, my favorite.
And she starts whispering, and then she's like, no, I can't tell you anymore. It would be best if I show you. And she steps away from the table, and she's beckoning him to follow. And Sam, the joke here is that Sam is so aroused, he can't get out from behind the table. And he's just like, would you just give me a minute? And she's like, no. And she walks off. She storms out. And he's just like, I thought they were going to make a joke because they had previously mentioned the champagne cooling on ice. I thought they were going to do something with the ice bucket there, but instead,
I did too.
He calls the waiter Paul, and he's like, can I have another one of your chocolate souffles? The guy's like, you know, that'll take 45 minutes, right? He's like, yes, Paul, I know that. That's how long he's going to need to cool off. And yeah, just as before the episode ends, we're back down at the bar, and Rebecca's like, Woody, give this message to Sam. And Woody, not thinking anything, grabs a slip of paper, and he's like legitimately writing this down. And she's like, it'll be a cold day in hell before I ever schlep drinks in this bar.
Yeah, Rebecca, and a two-bit bar.
Yeah.
And a two-bit saloon.
And she is at the door about to walk out when he's like, oh, Miss Howe, the Midtown Mercedes called, and they've got your car in, the red one, just like you asked. And it dawns on her, like, oh, yeah, she's got responsibility. She's got financial obligation. She can't leave this horrible position. And she takes the tray from Carla and walks right up to a table with Phil and says, I'm Rebecca, and how may it be my pleasure to serve you, and starts to cry as she says it with the voice break. And then we cut, and it's awesome. It's a beautiful intro to the season.
It is. I agree.
For Norm's tab, Norm had 3 beers this episode, which brings him up to 590 for the series.
Oh, my word. Yeah.
Who is your employee of the week?
Rebecca. I love her. The roller coaster of emotions we go through with her episode to episode, how she can be so neurotic and emotional, but then also pretty strong, and she gives it to Sam harder than he gives it to her almost sometimes, which I really appreciate. But her vulnerability that she plays this role with, and that we see a lot in this episode, I think I have to give it to Rebecca.
It was a tough call for me. Obviously, just because everybody else kind of got pushed aside, it was between Sam and Rebecca. I gave it to Sam, but yeah, I hear everything that you said about Rebecca too. It was one and one.
Sam was
basically, yeah.
He was very funny in this.
There were more than good zingers and good one-liners. There was a lot of good back and forth and good setups and stuff in the dialogue for this one. But yeah, my home run, I already mentioned it. It's when Carla's talking about the evil and the darkness that spread over the world, and Norma, she means when Diane was here, and Frasier's, I know exactly what she means. That was my favorite.
I was tied with that. And then But I think I have to give it to the back and forth with Sam and Rebecca in the office about the blouse.
That was good.
The quickness of it and like Sam's like intensity with every, you know, line. He says, I'm working part-time as department store security. I was there when you bought it. And Rebecca says, I bought it mail order. He said, I drove the truck that delivered it to your house. One date. Like, come on.
Oh, so good. They find it, like, after the finale last season, like, I think they found a new way of kind of rejuvenating the will-they-won't-they aspect of this relationship, showing that this is a going concern and not necessarily maybe the focus of the entire season. But obviously this idea that, you know, Sam is going to continue trying to get her in bed, and what are the obstacles or how is she going to thwart him?
Right.
And what's going on with Rebecca and her station, so.
Well, and I meant to say this earlier, but Rebecca's dress that she wears on the date to Melville's might be the most gorgeous dress we see in all of Cheers, which I know all the guys that co-host with you, I'm sure, really appreciate this statement. But a beautiful, off-the-neck, like, sweetheart black dress was stunning and could still be worn in 2024. It was unreal.
It was a good one. She looked good. Yeah, she looked good. She did. I mean, Kirstie Alley was a legit sex symbol at this era. Well, Vicky, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you. Anytime. I love it.
I loved hearing that you really like season 8, so I will definitely have you back on for season 8
please,
episode.
Yes, please. I would love it.
Some of my very favorite episodes are in that season.
Yeah.
But we got a lot to go before that one, including, I think I mentioned this last year, folks, possibly my very favorite episode of Cheers is this season. We'll see if that ranking holds up on the rewatch, but it's coming up and it's not too far away. So again, thanks Vicky, and thanks to all of you out there who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/FWpodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
What makes you think that I was going to ask you for a date? You must really think you look hot tonight.
Then why did you come in here?
Well, I was going to compliment you on your blouse. That's a very pretty blouse.
Well, we haven't seen each other today until now. How did you know I'd be wearing this one?
I was hoping you were going to wear it. It's always been my favorite blouse.
It's brand new. It's the first time I've worn it.
I'm working part-time in department store security. I was in the store when you bought it.
I bought it mail order.
I drove the truck to deliver it to your house. One date. Come on, please. What's this gonna kill you?